Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hey there. Before we jump into this episode, I want to let you know about something that is brand new that you have access to as a Mamahood After Trauma listener. Now, tell me, does this sound like you? You want to give your littles a positive childhood experience. You want the steps to finally heal your childhood trauma. You're tired of the fear holding you back in life, and you enjoy being a mama, and you want to be more present. If you answered yes to any of the above, I would invite you to check out the Mama Untriggered private podcast series. This is a 5-part private podcast series that teaches you how to ditch the emotional roller coaster and bust out of the fear controlling your mamahood. Let's teach you how to calm your nervous system through small, simple steps. I mean, parenting books and workshops are great, but we believe it's better to give you short, actionable audio clips that allow you to take action right away so that they can't escape from your mom brain, right? If this sounds at all interesting to you, I would invite you to head over to subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. That's subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. Now, let's go into this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. Hello, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited that you have taken some time out of your day to tune in and listen to this conversation. Today, we are joined by Jessie Torres. Welcome.
Thank you, Emily. So happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you and have this conversation. So let's dive right in, and I'm going to have you just introduce yourself and share how you came to where you are now.
Sure. My name is Jessie Torres, and I am a peak performance and transformation coach. Been doing this since 2007. I was still working in corporate at the time. So about 2009 is when I actually started to really get momentum in my coaching practice. And I'm here to liberate women, to empower them to come back to their beautiful core essence of feminine. And somewhere along the way, we lost ourselves. And you know, to turn trauma into triumph and basically alchemize our pain into something beautiful. And my journey in my life has gotten me here to really dive into human development and to have more understanding about our journey here on Earth. Because, you know, after having a life of child abuse till I was 18, and then another 18 years of abuse in my marriage, my brother, you know, lost my brother to murder, you know, was myself suicidal. There's just been, once my divorce happened, and this is not to vilify anybody, like I have total forgiveness and reverence for my brother, for my father, for my ex-husband. It's just part of my journey and what happened mm-hmm. in my story. But coming out of an apathetic state, out of that marriage, into, I was 38 at the time, you know, to who am I? What, I don't even know how to drive out of my own city. I don't know how to, you know, do anything, basically. I've been a stay-at-home mom most of my life. You know, there was a period of time where I would do little businesses on the side while I babysat and nannied. And then I started to work in corporate. But in that moment of total survival, I was on a massive quest to understand. I wanted to understand why my dad did what he did, why my mom ignored it, why my husband did what he did, and why I allowed it. And I started to read books. I started to go to seminars, my own therapy, workshops, anything I could get my hand on to understand why at this stage of my life, I was where I was. And it created almost an obsession, if you will. Mm-hmm. And from that, I got the opportunity to attend a seminar with my sister in real estate. And the coach at the time said, you know, my mentor, Tony Robbins. And I was like, well, I like this guy. I wonder who this Tony Robbins guy is. And I dove deeply into understanding who he was, went to one of his events, was mind blown. And I was trying to get my own coaching practice off the ground. And I'm like, oh my God, what would it be like to work here? And so the story of how I got there is another one for another time, but it was definitely perseverance, willing to sleep in my car and to get to meet the director of coaching. And I finally made it and I coached for Tony for 7 years. And the beauty about that is you get to coach people from all over the world and you start to learn human behavior and patterns versus cult, you know, people think there's cultural differences and there are, but at the end of the day, it's the human behavior and the patterns that we all have based on what happened to us. And so I've been working with trauma for a while now, but I'm really steering toward the woman, really connecting back to our femininity and who we are. We kind of lose ourselves, especially when we have children. It's like, you know, it's like our life goes away, our identity goes away. We just become the mom, you know, and we kind of lose a sense of self. And there's things that happen in our history that cause us to create limitation and fear in our current day. So that's a little bit about me.
Wow. What a story.
Thank you.
What a story. So what was your, everybody has a moment where they realize, oh man, I need to change how things are going in my life because I can't keep doing this,
mm-hmm.
this pattern, this lifestyle, whatever it might be. What was that moment for you where you realized, oh man, I've got some work to do?
Well, like I said, I think it was at the end of my marriage. So what actually short-circuited me to have the courage to leave, because it was very verbally and emotionally and mentally abusive. I just wanted to die. That was the only way in my mind out. Divorce wasn't an option. And you know, I was having such a hard time. I would even want something to happen to him on a, you know, plane trip. And then I had shame and guilt over even thinking such a horrible thing, but I didn't see another way out. I was just wishing somebody would blow the red light. And what I did is I decided that I wanted to do something more than just be a stay-at-home mom. I had ambition and I wanted my life to mean something. And although I'm happy being a mom and that's awesome, I knew there was something more. And mm-hmm. So I took a course in emergency medicine. And what ended up happening is I ended up flunking at a 10-chapter quiz because my husband at the time had broke his leg. He broke his tib fib in a motorcycle accident. And again, very controlling and all of that. I was at the hospital in the morning. I was at the hospital in lunchtime. My lunchtime, I was working for a corporate full time, you know, and I was going there after dinner, going home, feed the kids, and then go back to the hospital till 11 o'clock at night. And I flunked. And in EMT, you can't flunk. You just can't. If you flunk, you flunk all the way because, you know, you're answering 911 calls. So the teacher knew something was up and asked me, he said, what's going on? Right. Cause this wasn't my MO. This wasn't who I was as a student. And so I shared with him and he made me an offer. He said, you know, I'll give you an incomplete and not a fail if you promise to take the course again next semester. And so I was elated. I jumped on it. And what ended up happening is the class is half lecture, half scenarios. And so I got to audit the class and I became the patient. And so I was put in stairwells, under cars, in bushes, and I was like terribly like introverted. I looked down at the ground. I didn't make eye contact. I was so nervous. And in doing this, and people were pulling me up, taking leaves out of my hair and thanking me and just being loving. And I didn't know to call it kindness at the time. But what I knew is whatever the feeling was I had there, if that was available, then life was worth living. And what I felt when I was at home was dead. And so it was a short, I call it a short circuit moment where I was like, I couldn't wait for that Saturday class. I couldn't wait to just be in a space where something in me got ignited. Mm-hmm. And it gave me the courage to leave my marriage. So I would think that it was that short circuit moment when kindness was in place in a way that I had never experienced. My father told me not to trust anybody. People just want to get in your pants, which is what he was doing. You know, my husband told me people want to break up a good marriage. So don't talk about our marriage to anybody, Jess. You know, so I had these lenses of like, people are there to harm you. And when these people acted kind, I didn't understand. I'm like, wait, you know, they ended up like putting all this money in together as a class because I did this video montage of their journey and they bought me a Best Buy car. You know, and although that seems so little to me, it was everything. It's just like, wait, you just did this for me for no reason? For me, it was for no reason. For them, they were like in total gratitude, you know, but I didn't even know that language at the time. I just knew that it woke something up in me. And then from that, now that activation of like, oh no, like, what do I now do with my life? I don't even know how to drive out of my own city. You know? And so the next trigger moment for me was to put things in my life that challenged and scared me. Like, because I was so introverted, right? And so I took an improv class. I know it seems kind of silly, but improvisation, oh my God, it's like 10 layers, like scary, no way, I don't want to be seen, you know? And the cool thing about improv is there's no wrong. Everything is improvisation. So even when you mess it up, you're right, you know? So it helped me open up that channel. And then the next time I took an acting class and I had to portray a role that is just, God in the universe is very funny because I had the role of a prostitute. It was Barbara Streisand in the movie Nuts, which is a very old movie, but and I had to take a stand for myself in the courtroom. So what it did is it allowed me to break character and do something I'd never done before. I didn't curse. I was a good girl. I was always the good girl. And I had to play the role and get an A. So I'm going to play this role, right? And so there was just a variety of things. I did a fitness competition when body image was always such an issue for me. And so that was 15 layers scary. And I just started to do this. And what I did is I started to build massive amounts of grit.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw another side of myself.
Yeah. The courage that takes is, I'm sure you didn't see it at the time as being courageous.
No, it was in total survival. But what I knew is my kids needed me. You know what I mean? Like I needed my boys. I have twins and they were 17 and a half at the time. My daughter was 15. It was a very sensitive age. If I look back on it now, I might've waited till my boys graduated. They were in their senior year and it was very hard, very tumultuous, very bumpy. You know, he turned the house in, we foreclosed the house, turned in all the cars. I mean, I was turned upside down in so many ways because he was furious, you know? And again, I love him dearly and I have nothing, you know, it's just my journey. So I'm not mad at him. I never want to put him in a bad place because I really don't feel that way, but I do share my story and this is what happened, you know? And so I knew that they needed me and I needed to be, you know, a different version of me that they had never seen before.
That you had never seen before.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally went from doormat to finding a fierce, you know, energy in me that was not going to quit.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is so empowering. As terrifying as it might have been at the time, it is incredibly empowering as well.
Yeah, very much. Very much. You know, A Course in Miracles says there's only ever two things. There's love and there's fear. Mm-hmm. And fear is just a call for love. And if we can recognize that our fearful moments are not the bear coming, mm-hmm. but yet that part of us that wants to limit us and keep us small, we will just embrace the fear as feedback and still move forward because we are courageous enough.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So what tips do you have for the mama listening who is on a journey to finding her courage to make a change?
So for moms that are looking to make that change, I think one of the number one things that we tend to overlook is how much we matter. When we become mamas, our babies become number one in every area, which I totally appreciate because they're dependent on us as infants. However, it is not for us to lose ourselves. And so the best thing you can do is nurture and take care of you. Because as much as I wish it were different, our children do not do what we tell them, they do what we show them. So if you can make, you know, show them that you know how to nurture yourself, that you know how to take care of yourself, that you take mommy time, right? Even for a bubble bath or whatever, like it matters. I know it feels like it doesn't because it feels like you got to get everything done, but it is monumental for them to see you not only take care of yourself because they'll learn that behavior as well, but also to not forget that you are a woman in love first. And to not forget your spouse if you're married, right? And not forget that you were a woman and to still be affectionate, still be endearing, to show your children your connection with your spouse so that they learn what relationship looks like because they are watching everything. And so it's like Brené Brown, who's an amazing author, she says she had people come and ask her, you know, how could I be the best parent? And she said, don't ask how you could be the best parent. Ask how you can be the best adult you want your children to become.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget you. You matter. So if you're at that tipping point of making a change in your life, check in. What changes do you need to make within you? Are you exhausted? Mm-hmm. Are you not eating well? Right? Because you're just eating what you feed the kids, you know, the snacks or I've been there, you know, like nurture and take care and build the lifestyle with your children around you and the life you created with your spouse or your partner. And if you're a single mom, then who do you choose to be as a mom, a woman, a Jessie or an Emily? Who mm-hmm. are you as that human being? And then, like, if you're someone who loves fitness, or if you're someone who loves cooking, or if you're someone who, you know, loves to read, that you don't circumvent those activities. You find time to have them so that your children are witness to how to have a plan in place where you can still do the things you love. Otherwise, they will also become sacrificial in their relationships mm-hmm. if they, you know, see you giving all and never giving time for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to look back on their childhood and be like, well, mom took care of everybody else. And so now I'm a mom. So now I have to do the same thing and forget about me because mom mm-hmm. never took time for herself. And it's a cycle, friends. Just
totally. And it's not always in being a mom.
No.
Boys will do that too. It's just, that sacrifice is what I learned. So sacrifice mm-hmm. in friendships, sacrifice yeah. in relationships, right? It just kind of snowballs, or it's that ripple effect where it's just the condition of the spirit now that says, this is just the way you live. I don't know any other way. It's what I witnessed.
Yeah. Yeah. So curiosity is a really big part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. getting curious and asking yourself those hard questions. Who am I before I'm a mom? What do I value? Mm-hmm. What's important to me? The beauty about being a mama is that we have these beautiful beings that are ready to be microchipped by us. You know, like if you think about it, the world is going to microchip them and feed them all kinds of things by the time they go to school. So what do you want to program in their mind? That they're unstoppable, that they're beautiful, that they're strong, that they're courageous, and that they can make powerful choices, right? So if you can think ahead to the adult that these children will be, like, who are you? What do you value? What's important for you? What's your code of conduct? Create a family code of ethics, right? That they will always remember, that they repeat every day at dinner. You know, one of my favorite questions in the morning when you're having breakfast with them, whose life will be better because of you today? Mm. And start to teach them acts of kindness. And then at dinner time, when they've come home from school, you say, okay, let's share whose life was better because of you today. And they will start to actively look for ways to share their snack or ways to be kind if someone was hurt or if there's bullying happening. Right? They can be the ones that are the kind one to the one that's being hurt because they're always looking through the lenses of like, whose life will be better because of me today? And to show them that you can make someone's life better just by a smile, mm-hmm. or a compliment or just attention, a moment of time. Lots of ways to empower children in a way that shows benevolence and allows them to open up their heart. Mm-hmm. Right? Even yeah. when adversity hits. And by the way, they're also watching you and how you handle stress, how you handle, you know, driving to school and getting mad at the people, you know, like all that energy is just stuff that they're watching like sponges and they're just absorbing it all. Oh, this is what you do when you drive. You get mad at the people, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we don't realize it. Like, I remember there was a moment when my daughter was a teenager and I was looking in the mirror and, you know, and I'm always telling her how beautiful she is and all these things. And I was talking about my thighs. I was like, oh my God, my thighs, God, they're my biggest nemesis, blah, 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 whatever I was saying. And she literally goes, Mom, I'm like, what? She goes, your daughter's watching. And I was like, oh, sorry. Like, never mind. I'm beautiful. I'm beautiful. You know, so again, it's like I could tell her she's beautiful all day long. But if I'm looking at the mirror criticizing myself, she's learning that. And she actually told me once, my daughter's like my muse. She said, Mom, if you don't see yourself up here, she says, because that's where I see you. If you don't see yourself there, I wonder, where do you see me? Hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, again, it's just the lessons that you learn later on, like they're just constantly watching, like I can tell her all kinds of great things. But if I'm beating myself up, or if I'm, you know, God, I was so stupid. That was stupid. Why did I do that? You know, I'm speaking to myself in a way that I would never speak to her. Mm-hmm. And so they learn that. So it's important just to be awake, be in awareness of your behavior. Because they will mimic.
Yeah, they will. They most certainly will. So how can our listeners connect with you further if that's what they want to do? If I can Absolutely. Get my words out.
I have my website, which is unshakablelife.com. You can book a call with me. I'd love to chat. Let's get to know each other, see if there's an opportunity where I could support you. I also have a free little giveaway for you. If you are someone that is stuck in a situation like I was, where you need to get out. And one of the things that is a big myth is stay together for the kids. Because again, as we've talked in this episode, you know, they do what you show them, not what you tell them. So if you're in a situation that is unhealthy, if you're in a situation that is not, you are not being treated in the best way possible to be cherished and honored as the mama in the freaking home, because we are the feelers. If mama ain't happy, nobody happy, right? If you're not treated with kindness, then you're needing out. There's a way you can do it, because sometimes I think women get stuck and they think there's no way out. He makes all the money. Like for me, when I did it, I got turned upside down so many ways. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that death was the only option if I stayed. And so I was willing to take that risk and go. And ultimately, there is a deep resolve. There's a deep courage in you that you don't even know yet. So yeah. Trust that there's a way. And so my 10-step guys is just little steps that you can take. And you might not be in that dire situation, but you might be in a situation that isn't prime and you want ways to make it better. And those tips will help you to reconnect and get freedom. So that you can either make your relationship the best, intimate, beautiful, passionate relationship it can be, or to make a decision to, you know, get the best outcome for you and your children.
Awesome. Thank you. So I will include the links to those in the show notes as well as on the blog when it is ready. Thank you so much, Jesse, for joining me today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Emily.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep